In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These are the words that Jesus began to preach after his baptism in the Jordan, after the Holy Spirit descended on him as a dove, and after John was cast into prison by Herod due to the hatred of Herodias. This is the same message John had preached. And it's a command. Repent. Repent. And a reason's given, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Indeed, we've just celebrated the feast of the coming of God among us. The incarnation of the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, bringing His presence among us, making heaven close to us, uniting us to God and Himself, and inviting us to share in that and all that offers. So Jesus proclaims the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the proper response is to repent. It's not given as a suggestion, it's not given as good advice, it's given as a command. Jesus tells his disciples throughout the Gospels, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Our love for God is shown in our keeping of his commandments. To say I love God and not to keep his commandments, keep Christ's commandments, is to give the lie to our words. It's in our actions that the proof of our love is made manifest. We sing about the commandments every week in the first antiphon. I'm sure you've noticed it. The mercy of the Lord is from ages to ages upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness upon children's children. To whom? To such as keep His covenant and remember His commandments to do them. Great blessing in hears upon those who hear the commandments of God and keep them, hold on to them, let their lives be guided by them, allow their actions and words and thoughts to be judged by them, submit themselves to them. And fearing God, to fear God is in part to accept His commandments as from the hand of God, and to embrace Him and to submit oneself to them. And this is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as the Scripture tells us. If we fear God, we will take His commandments seriously, take them to heart, and guide our lives by them. We often think of repentance as belonging to those who are desperately wicked from our point of view. But it's for every one of us. Later, after the great entrance and before the Lord's Prayer again, we'll pray twice in the litanies that we may end the remaining time of our life in peace and repentance. Let us ask of the Lord. While Christian life begins with repentance and obedience to Christ's command, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it also continues in repentance. We ask that every one of us gathered may not only begin our Christian life in repentance, but end it in repentance as well. We go on in the next petition to ask a Christian ending to our life, painless, unashamed, peaceful, and a good defense before the fearful judgment seat of Christ, let us ask. And the fulfillment of that petition is the fruit of a life of repentance, a Christian end to our life. Painless, unashamed, peaceful death and departure from this world, and a good defense before Christ's judgment seat. We've been faithful to carry out this command, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Our end will be good and blessed. That petition will be fulfilled for us. There are probably two groups of people who hear this command and if you apply it slightly differently. The first is those who are coming to Christ, the inquirers, those who are hearing the gospel, those who are drawing near, beginning to put their faith in God. Those who then take the step to enter into the catechumenate. And as Metropolitan Jonah has said, the essence of the catechumenate is really repentance. But what is repentance? We've all heard it before, but let's remind ourselves. The word repentance, metanoia in Greek, means to change one's mind. Of course, we're transformed as our minds are renewed, as we conform our thinking, our minds to the mind of Christ. So we come to see the things the way God sees them, that we've come to understand ourselves and our actions and our thoughts and the whole world as God sees it, and judge correct judgment in relation to those things and assess them properly, not with the distorted and mistaken values and judgment of this fallen world. And so repentance is, in essence, a changing our way of our thinking, a changing in our minds, and it leads to change in action. So the catechumen is a time of repentance. It's a time when we bring all that we are, all our thoughts, all our concepts of God, all our concepts about what are right and wrong, we bring them before the gospel, before Christ, before His commandments, before His standard, and we allow everything to be judged by Him. We allow His word to speak to us, and we wrestle with it, because sometimes what He says to us is painful. It forces us to see the ugliness that we've allowed to grow in us. It forces us to see that we're not the people we thought we were, and it also calls us to change, to start thinking in new ways, to start acting in new ways. But this is really what the catechumenate's about. It's not just the intake of information and reading of books. It's bringing our lives before the judgment seat of Christ and allowing Him to judge us and Him to begin the healing process in us, and for us to submit ourselves fully to Him. Of course, this culminates in baptism, the washing away of all our sins and the beginning of spiritual life within us. Then the receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit at chrismation. Now, if we didn't sin, we'd be good after this, but because probably almost everyone baptized ends up sinning after baptism, this need for repentance continues. Each word, each action, each thought, we keep bringing into the light of Christ and examining it, whether this is worthy of God or not, whether this is worthy of our calling as Christians. And we live this out in our daily prayers as we pray, as we confess our faults to God, things we've done that we shouldn't have done, the things that we haven't done that we should have done. And of course, we bring all those things to confession month after month, regularly, opening our heart before God and before our confessor, revealing those things and seeking the cleansing that comes through humbling ourselves to confess, and the second baptism of tears, which confession is likened to, or called. And we abide in this, and it's healing for us, it's salvation for us. And we're called to do it because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God has come and dwelt among us. He's united Himself to us. We cannot escape from Him if we want to. No matter how far we go, we will not get away from Him. We have to do with Him. We have to deal with Him, whether we want to or not. And it's much better to do it willingly, by our own choice, rather than to be dragged kicking and screaming. He's gentle with us and patient and long-suffering, and gradually draws us and woos us, appealing to our will, appealing to our hearts, that we would bow the knee to Him. And so we pray that we may end our lives in repentance. At every service, when the litanies are uttered, we make that petition. There's one desert father who very holy, had a very great reputation. Many people came to him. But his daily prayer was this. He didn't take, like Paul, he didn't look to the past and consider all the great things he'd done or his success. Rather, he counted it all as dung to press forward. But his daily prayer was, Lord, even though I've done nothing good before thee, grant by thy grace I may make a beginning of good. And by that he meant today, now. No matter what's happened yesterday, last week, last month, today, grace is available for me to make a beginning of good. And if I fall and I get up again and make that beginning of good. And if I fall again, I get up again and make that beginning of good. And we don't despair, we don't give up, we don't lose hope or heart because God's grace is greater than all our sinfulness and our failures. So God, even though I've done nothing good before thee, even though all the good works that I thought I've had are tainted by bad motives, by mixed motives, maybe they're not as great as I thought they were, help me today to make a beginning of good, to do your will today. And this is repentance. This is what Christ is calling us to. Because the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God is near at hand. For those of us who have been baptized, the kingdom of God is within us. Because that kingdom is near and here, though not in its fullness, our first response is to repent. And this is not a one-time thing, but an ongoing process throughout our lives. May God grant that all of us may seize the kingdom as we come to Christ in repentance. To Christ our God, who is baptized in the flesh for our salvation, be all glory, honor, and worship together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, always, now, and ever, and unto ages.